This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending him his greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, continuing our journey in looking at good moral values or practices, whereby many of these practices have been encouraged or mentioned to encourage brotherhood and relationship amongst one another, to forgive and to pardon and to overlook. The previous hadith we looked at as-sulh, reconciliation, rectifying amongst our own selves. Was-sulhu khayr, to reconcile with one another is better, whether it be between family members, husband and wife, whether it be even against enemies. You find that Islam encourages to find a middle ground of understanding. And as many of us, we fail to understand maqasid al-sharia. The intent of the Islamic law is to create love, to create peace and harmony, not to destruct and to destroy. And especially amongst our own Muslims, there should be even more of a focus in encouraging ourselves to be united as one body, as one ummah. The Quran mentions in numerous passages inside the Quran, وَأَنَّ هَذِهِ أُمَّتُكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً وَأَنَا رَبُّكُمْ فَاعْبُدُونَ. Indeed, this ummah is one nation, one people, one community, and I'm your Lord, worship only me. Then again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions inside Surah Al-Mu'minun, speaking about the believing individuals, that indeed I am your Lord, وَأَنَا رَبُّكُمْ فَاتَّقُونَ, and fear only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, we find, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنكَرِ. You're the best people ever raised up. You order the good and you forbid the evil. And likewise, the Prophet alayhi salatu alayhi mentioned, وَكُونُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِخْوَانًا. All of you should be brothers towards one another. لا يظلمه ولا يقذفه. Doesn't forsake him, doesn't lie against him, doesn't betray his trust, doesn't forsake him, doesn't let him down. That حق المسلم المسلم خمس وفي بعض الروايات ستة. You find the right of one Muslim with another Muslim are five rights that belong to another Muslim. Another narration mentions six. And thus we find that it's incumbent upon us Muslims to encourage amongst our own selves, to be unified, to unite ourselves, to overlook certain mistakes or issues that we may have developed inside our lives, inside our community. And that's why one way to have a receptive feeling towards one another, or reconciling against with one another and rectifying ourselves, is to gift, to encourage gifting of gifts towards one another, creates love and affection between the two parties. Tahadu, tahabu. Give gifts to one another. It creates love and affection amongst yourselves. As for the hadith of today that we find, tahadu, tahadu, fa'inna al-hadiyata tadhibu wahra al-sadri. Give gifts to one another, because the giving of gifts takes away the bad, the ill feelings inside the heart of the human being. وَلَا تَحْقِرَنَّ جَارَةٌ لِجَارَتِهَا وَلَوْ شِقَّ فِرْسِنِ شَاتٍ. And let not one despise their neighbor. If the neighbor gives you maybe some flesh of the meat, or the bones of the meat, or the trotters of a sheep, the hooves of a sheep, give it to you. Don't despise that. Don't look down upon the other individual, because for them it may be the only gift that they have. It's the thought, as they say, that counts, that they're trying to bring towards you, being a neighbor towards you. Even though some ulama begin to question the authenticity of this hadith, but numerous other hadiths we mentioned strengthen this interpretation of giving gifts and not looking down upon other individuals. We find the hadith in Sahih Muslim, or Muslim women, or women, no woman should look down upon a gift given by another neighbor, by her neighbor, even if it happens to be the meat from a sheep's hoof. Likewise, when meeting, greeting and gifting one another, and the hadith marfu' as collected by Imam Malik in Sahih Muwatta. Marfu' means that this is something that goes back, attributed to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that possibly the companions heard it or saw him carrying out this action. He then mentioned, if you shake hands with one another, your dislike of one another will disappear. And if you give gifts to one another, then the malice, the hatred will disappear from you. And thus we find the importance of even a simple thing of greeting one another, the Islamic greeting that we have, the way that a Muslim meets another Muslim, to remind ourselves the virtues, the fada'il of as-salam, of greeting one another as Muslims. We find, قُلْتُ لِأَنِسْ أَكَانَتِ الْمُصَافَحَةُ فِي أَصْحَابِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. I said, ask Anas ibn Malik the question, was there musafaha, was there greetings, the shaking of hands amongst the companions of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam? فَقَالَ نَعَمْ, yes, there was a form of greeting that they would greet one another with. مَا مِن مُسْلِمَيْنِ يَلْتَقِيَانِ فَيَتَسَافَحَتَانِ. No two Muslims that meet one another and they greet one another. إِلَّا غُفِرَ لَهُمَا قَبْلَ أَنْ يَفْتَرِقَا. No two Muslims meet one another and greet one another except for that you find that their sins are washed away from both of these individuals. Hadith inside the Sunan of Abi Dawood. And Anas قال رجل يا رسول الله. A man came to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام and asked him this question. أرجل منا يلقى أخاه أو صديقه. A man from amongst us, he meets his friend or meets a brother of his. أينحني له. Should he bow down for him? Should he lower his back for him? قال لا. Person shouldn't bow down. A custom that may exist amongst other individuals doesn't bow down for another Muslim. He said, should he greet him, hug him, and should he kiss him? فقال لا. Shouldn't greet him in that manner. فقال له, should he do what? Should he greet him with salam, shake his hands? قال نعم. He should give the salam to this individual. Hadith in a Sunan of Tirmidhi wa hadith huwa al-hasan. Likewise, we find that the greeting with the two hands that some people may carry out inside their culture, or after greeting the individual, place the hands upon their chest. All of these may be cultural aspects, or lowering themselves, may be cultural aspects that people that they practice. But this is not the Sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. Maybe sometimes we may overlook it, but we have to teach our people that culturally, al-musafaha la yakuna biyadayn. To greet a person isn't with two hands, to grasp their hands, to clasp their hands, and then to bring your hands to your heart to show love and affection. Likewise, to lower oneself, to greet another individual, another Muslim, in general is not allowed. Rather, it is forbidden for a person to lower their neck, to lower their back for any human being. It's not allowed in the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to lower oneself, no matter who the individual happens to be. Some ulama may have discussed a right of a parent to a certain degree that may exist there. But even the qawlu rajih, person back shouldn't bend down. That's what we find, unfortunately, some of our cultures that we find when people, when they get married, you find that they expect their wife to bow down in front of their mother. فَهَذَا لَا يَجُوزُ. This is not allowed for a person to do this, to bow down to a woman, for another woman, to bow down for her as a sign of reverence and respect. Reverence and respect comes via the Qur'an and the Sunnah, the teachings of the Prophet عليه السلام. حَتَّى رَسُولَ عليه السلام كَانَ يَقْرَهُ. Who would despise that anyone stood up for him. If he came into a gathering, he would not like that people would stand up for him. These are the sunnah and the etiquettes that we should follow inside our lives. Wa afdul khalq, the best of creation of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and he despised. Rather, you find he mentioned that any person who wants people to stand up for him, when he comes into a gathering and he wishes, and he finds it that he gets upset that people don't stand up for him. فَلْيَأْخُذْ مَقَدُهُ فِي النَّارِ. Let that person take their place inside the hellfire. لِأَنَّ هَذَا نَوْءٌ مِنَ الْكِبْرِ. A sign of arrogance that people should stand up for me when I make an entrance and should make way for that individual. That's why we encourage ourselves to make the taslim, make the salam. In Imam al-Bukhari's Al-Adab al-Mufrad, an encyclopedia of etiquettes and behavior that we find, a book that all of us should go back and learn Al-Adab. You find many of the books of Sunan al-Hadith have chapters speaking about Kitab al-Akhlaq, Kitab al-Adab, wal-Bir, wal-Sila, speaking about etiquettes and manners and how we conduct ourselves. That's you find Imam al-Bukhari in his collection of his Al-Adab al-Mufrad is different from his Sahih al-Bukhari, which is As-Sahih al-Kutub al-Arbi. It's the most authentic book is Sahih al-Bukhari. وَمَنْ تَعَنَا فِي Sahih al-Bukhari. Whoever begins to make some comments about Sahih al-Bukhari, فَهُوَ خَارِجْ عَنْ أَهْلِ سُنَّةِ. It's questionable about them being a person Ahlul Sunnah. Because the hadith inside Bukhari are all authentic. There may be some scholarly discussion that exists for only of the ulama to discuss certain narrations that exist there. But even then, they've been authenticated. Imam al-Bukhari, just to give us a glimpse of his virtues, قَدْ حَفِذَ أَكْثَرْ مِنْ 70,000 أَحَدِيثِ. Had memorized more than 70,000 ahadith. Some ulama mentioned far beyond that. And he never just memorized ahadith. He mentioned all of the narrators of hadith. So if there's numerous narrators of hadith, he knew all about their history, their lineage, their names, everything about them. وَلِهَذَا لَمَّا سَافْرَ إِلَى الْبَغْدَادِ كَمَا ذُكِرَ إِمَامُ الْبَغْدَادِ فِي تَارِيخِ. When he travelled to Baghdad, they wanted to test the memory of Imam al-Bukhari. So they took 100 ahadith. They took 100 narrations and they mixed up these narrations. And even talk about it, they mixed up the chain of narration. Who are the people narrating this hadith? And he listened to all 100 narrations. Ma indahu kutub. He has no books. He has no texts with him. He listened to all of the narrations. And then he rectifies every single one of them. Every single one of them, he rectifies them. This is the correct narration. This is the correct rijal. And this is the correct word that should exist there. This was a karama. A miracle that was given to Imam Bukhari. A blessing that was given to him. So that's when people begin to question a hadith inside Sahih Bukhari. Begin to question these ahadith, or begin to ask about Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, or begin to speak about Aisha. These should all ring bells inside our mind. These are people who are trying to dismantle the Sharia. This is the entrance of how people begin to question the authenticity of Islam. Firstly, by questioning Imam al-Bukhari, then questioning the narrations of Abu Huraira, because mu'adham al-ahadith ruya' and lisani Abi Huraira. Majority of ahadith be narrated by Abu Huraira. So when you begin to question Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, then you begin to question narrations. Then most of the personal affairs of the Prophet alayhi salam have been narrated by Aisha, Ummul Mu'mineen radiallahu anha. So you begin to question her. So that's why a person should be very careful. Shouldn't take it lightly when people begin to say there's questioning about Imam al-Bukhari, or this hadith doesn't mean this, or Abu Huraira said this, or Aisha mentioned this. This all leads a path to weakening al-Islam. هذا دور المستشرقين. The role of the Orientalists, that's what they attack upon. And likewise, when people who follow a path of modernism, they begin to make these attacks. So-called Islamic thinkers who begin to highlight Sahih al-Bukhari is questionable. There's a hadith inside that should be questioned, that not applicable today. هذا خطأ كبير. This is a major issue, that people make these statements and begin to dismantle the narrations of Imam al-Bukhari. أي حال Imam al-Bukhari في كتاب الأدب المفرد begins to narrate numerous ahadith speaking about fada'il of salam that we find. لا يدخل جنة. The person will not enter into Jannah. حتى تحابوا. Until you don't believe. حتى تؤمنوا. Until you don't believe. ولا تؤمنوا حتى تحابوا. And you're never going to believe until you don't love one another. Should I not guide you to that which will make you love one another? قالوا بلى يا رسول الله عليه الصلاة والسلام. What guide us, which would make us love one another individual? قال أفشوا السلام بينكم. Spread the salam amongst yourselves. Imam Bukhari then begins to write numerous ahadith about as-salam. Bidayatu as-salam that we find is the beginning of Adam alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, go to the angels. Go and give them a greeting. Go and greet them with as-salam and see the response of them. This is the beginning of as-salam. As-salam huwa min asma' Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As-salam is amongst the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقَدْ فُسِّرَ لَمَّا تُسَلِّمْ عَلَى الشَّخْصِ. When you give salam to a person, that person is safe from your harms, from any harm, your wording, your speech. Al-Muslim man salim al-Muslimuna min lisani wa yadihi, أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. A Muslim is one that another Muslim is safe from your hand. It's safe from your tongue when you engage with them. Like as you mentioned numerous ahadith speaking about the reward that is multiplied many times our person who gives salam. Likewise, the duty of responding to salam is a person salam, gives salam, person has to respond to that salam. As-salam ala man arafta wa man lam ta'rif. To give salam to whoever you know and you don't know. Min ashrati sa'ati, from the signs, minor signs of the day of judgment, is as-salam al-ta'aruf ila man arafta. To give salam to only to the person that you know. You find some of the Imam Bukhari mentioned, هُنَا كَانَ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ بِنْ عُمَرِ يَمْشِي فِي الْأَسْوَاقِ. We'll go to the marketplaces. فَسُئِلَ لَهُ مَا تَشْتَرِي وَلَا تَتَحَدَّدِ. You don't speak, you don't engage, you don't barter, you don't buy anything. لِمَاذَ تَمْشِي فِي السُوقِ. Why do you go to the marketplace? لِأَجَرِ. For reward. لِأَيِّ أَجَرِ. For what reward? لِكَيْ أُسَلِّمْ عَلَى النَّاسِ. To just give salam to the people and to hear the salam. This is how the companions understood their life. That it's a no min al ajr, a reward to give salam to people. Likewise, a person who's walking, to give salam to the person who's sitting, the larger group to the smaller group, the young to the old, etc. All numerous ahadith which encourage all of us of how we should greet one another that we find, and not to stay away from one another giving salam. And as you find that some of the ulama, that's what they highlight about raising one's voice. حتى بعد الأحاديث, that when a person gives salam, a person should be visible, audible inside their salam. It should be a clear salam that a person delivers it and gives to the following individual. And likewise, you find some narrations that speak about not to give salam to sinful individuals. People, the Prophet did turn away from certain individuals who made certain statements and said certain things. He turned away from them, didn't greet them. For what purpose? To teach the people in society. Teach them inside society. People are fusaq or fiskum vahir. People are open, they're sinners. At times when Islam is powerful and strong, a person needs to turn away from him to teach them a lesson. To show them maybe in today's climate it doesn't really apply that to turn away from that, an individual. Because it may drift them more further away from the path. Likewise, you find people of Ahlul Bid'ati, people who are full of innovations. We're not living in a climate to turn away from people, because these people, they think we may as well carry out our innovations. Just break away as we began with. We are already living as a minority in the society that we live in. Rather, we have to take people by the hand, instill love within them, remind them, وَذَكِّرُ بِأَيَّامِ اللَّهِ, remind them about the days of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remind them حُبُّ sunnah, love of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, sunnatuhu, ta'zeem sunnatuhu, to express the magnificence of the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, al-hub lahu, express our love, to encourage them that this is more closer to the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Not to push people away, lest we find ba'd al-shabab apply rules and regulations, fail to understand them. Na'ish fil ghab ya ayyul ikhwa ya shabab. We live in the West to shun another individual, to block another individual, to turn away from another individual. لِأَيِّ غَايَةٍ, for what purpose? وَمُعْظَمُ ulama, majority of the ulama will say that living inside the hut, the person should show more love, more affection, more greetings, more unity, more support, more encouragement. Not every individual breaks away from one another. كُلُّ حِزْبٍ بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ فَرِحُونَ, every party dismantles themselves, rejoicing with their own selves, with their own entity, with their own selves. As we began with, encourage one another to come closer to one another, to the bond of love and relation towards one another. We find also Anas, strange narration that we find. Anas used to oil his hand, sent his place oil on his hands. And when he would go and greet for shaking the hands of his fellow Muslims, شَيْءٌ عَدِيمٌ نَتَعَجَّبْ, we marvel at this. They would all send their hands. Anas ibn Malik sent his hands that when you go and meet another Muslim, give them salam, that the fragrance will remain on their hand. The Prophet was the last person, individual, to move his hand away from another individual. Would hold on to the person's hand until they move their hand, then he would drift his hand away. But we slip our hands away quickly. We don't feel the encouragement. We find that giving us salam drops the sins of the individual, the minor sins, just like the tree begins to shed leaves. The leaves begin to drop upon the ground. That's how a person should be in a greeting towards another Muslim that we find. Likewise, we should not hold back in giving the salam. Should not become selfish, become miserly. That's why many times we find even hatta ba'd al-nas ghayr mutadayyinin, people non-practicing, that they recognize another Muslim. Wa yusallimuna alayna, and they give salam to us. Does that not create a good feeling inside the heart? Because you don't know whether this Muslim is a Muslim or non-Muslim, but they recognize you as Muslim and they greeted you. Person shouldn't then shun them and think that this person doesn't look like a Muslim, doesn't appear like a Muslim. Maybe this may awaken them inside their heart, that they recognize another Muslim, feel a love of Islam, feel a love of reception. So a person should respond back to them. Wa Rasul Isam lamma kana yusallim kana yabtasim, when he would meet people who smile at fellow Muslim. Ma kana abusan, wasn't wretched, wasn't upset. And he had many affairs that worried him inside his life. Many things that worried him, but he never delivered that in the subjects around him. Always showing a light face, always showing an element of happiness that we find. As we mentioned, never reject the salam. And never reject a gift. As we mentioned previously, never reject even the concept of perfume. فَلَا يَرُدَّهُ فَإِنَّ خَفِيفُ الْمَحْمَلِ طِيبُ الرِّيحِ, in a hadith in Sahih Muslim. Don't reject perfume. Indeed, it's something light to carry, and a beautiful fragrance it is. So anything a person offers to another individual, as they say, shouldn't break the heart of that individual and think that this person, what they're giving, it has no value, or how miserly it is. Sometimes the smallest of things, the smallest of words, تَدْخُلْ سُرُورْ فِي أَخِيكْ, the smallest of words can enter happiness into the heart of another individual, alleviate their suffering and the difficulties that they may have. Likewise, you find from giving of gifts, is a person shouldn't take back their gifts. الَّذِي يَعُودُ فِي هِبَتِهِ كَالْكَلْبِ يَرْجِعُ فِي قَيْئِهِ, hadith muttafaqun alayh. A person who gives a gift and tries to take the gift back,
is like a dog that vomits and goes back and eats the vomit. A harsh word. If a person gives something to another individual, then the person has gifted it. In another narration we find speaking about Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, inside the hadith of Bukhari and Muslim. He gifted a riding beast fi sabilillah. Gave it away as a form of sadaqah, as a gift. The person who's in charge of this horse never took care of it. So Umar al-Khattab, he wanted to take this horse back. Take it back, that gift him, I want to take it back. So he disclosed this to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. فَقَالُوا لَا تَشْتَرِهِ وَلَا تَعُدْ فِي صَدَقَتِكَ وَإِنْ أَعْطَاكَهُ بِالدِّرْهَمِ. Once you've given it in charity or given it as a gift, don't try to take it back. Even if it happens with just one dirham, one coin, don't take it back. فَإِنَّ الْأَعِدَ فِي صَدَقَتِهِ كَالْأَعِدْ فِي طَيْئِهِ. The person takes back their gift, takes back their sadaqah, is like a person who takes back their own vomit, eats from their own vomit. And that's the Quran as well, it mentions about staying away or giving a gift and making mention of it. قَوْلُ مَعْرُوفٌ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ خَيْرٌ مِنْ صَدَقَةٍ يَتْبَعُهَا أَذَى وَاللَّهُ غَنِيٌ حَلِيمٌ. A good word and good speech and forgiveness is better than the person who gives some form of charity, gives a gift. يَتْبَعُهَا أَذَى, then follows it with harm. What does that mean? That I gave you this, I helped you, I gave you this gift. Don't you remember this day? Don't you remember this time? Don't you remember this gift? Don't you remember this support? Don't you remember this money? Don't you remember this? Don't you remember that? The Quran rebukes such people. That's not goodness. That's not kindness, that you help another individual and then throughout their life you keep on mentioning it. Wallahu ghaniyun halim. Allah, ka'anna Allah subhanahu wa yashir. That Allah is ghani, Allah is rich. Allah has no need for you to give a gift to another individual and think you've done something good. And Allah is halim, forbearing. Listen to what other people are doing, what the people are saying, overlooks it all. And that's how a Muslim should be. That a Muslim should be overlooking. Not when a person, because in a dire need, a person helps another individual and then the shaitan comes to the heart and the mind of the individual and begins to mention that time and time again. And the following verse, strange enough, highlights the giving of gifts for showing off. يَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُبْتِلُوا صَدَقَاتِكُمْ بِالْمَنِّ وَالْأَذَى كَالَّذِي يُنْفِقُ مَالُهُ رِيَاءَ النَّاسِ وَلَا يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ فَمَثَلُ كَمَثَلِ صَفْوَانٍ عَلَيْهِ تُرَابٌ فَأَصَابَهُ وَابِلٌ فَتَرَكَهُ صَلْدًا لَا يَقْدِرُونَ عَلَى شَيْءٍ مِمَّا كَسَبُوا وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْكَافِرِينَ. يَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُبْتِلُوا صَدَقَاتِكُمْ بِالْمَنِّ وَالْأَذَى. Oh, you believe, don't destroy your good deeds. Don't destroy your sadaqat, the giving of charity, by making mention that towards another individual. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings this parable. Al-amthal fil Quran hawali akthar min thamanin. There's a person yurakkis al-amthal fil Quran, person should focus upon the parables inside the Quran. Wa khususan fi surah al-Baqarah, where this verse is verse number 264. There are numerous amthal, numerous parables inside Surah Al-Baqarah that Allah lays out. For the people to yatafakkaroon, yatadhakkaroon, ta'qiloon, yafhamoon, ta'lamoon. لِأَيِّ غَايَةٍ. Allah lays out numerous passages, numerous parables inside the Quran right in the beginning. Allah speaks about al-munafiqoon, how the hypocrites are. They find that al-barq, lightning, is all around them. And they thrust their fingers inside their ears to try to conceive, to cover themselves, because they feel that every attack is against them. Here Allah mentions that a person gives charity in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَمَثَلُوا كَمَثَلِ صَفْوَانٍ. وَالصَّفْوَانِ هُوَ نَوْءٌ مِنَ الْحَجَرِ. Safwan is a type of rock. Upon this rock is turab, like a smooth rock with some dust. You find that wabil, heavy rain pours down. What does heavy rain do to a smooth rock and elements of dust upon it? Washes it away. Wipes it away. لا أثر له. Nothing is left. So the person gives this charity, it's just like specks of dust on a rock. Begins to make mention of it towards another individual. So the person with their own hand washes away their good deeds. It's all taken away by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise in hadith that we find. ثَلَاثَةٌ لا يكلمهم الله يوم القيامة ولا ينظر إليهم ولا يزكيهم ولهم عذاب أليم. Persons person يركز على هذه الأحاديث. Person should focus on these type of ahadith where Allah mentioned. ثلاثة لا يكلمهم الله يوم القيامة. Numerous ahadith we find that Allah mentioned he will not speak to three types of individuals. ولا ينظر إليهم. Allah will not look at them. ولا يزكيهم. Will not purify them. ولهم عذاب أليم. For them will be a severe chastisement, a punishment. First we find المنان بما أعطى. Person who always mentions what they've given to another person. Severe words. Person shouldn't find it trivial. It's not just a normal hadith. When Allah mentions, he doesn't look at those people, doesn't speak to those individuals, doesn't purify those individuals. Person shouldn't take it in a trivial manner. Person should be worried about this. وثاني والمسبل إزاره. A person whose lower garment drags below the ankles. People may begin to have all types of discussions about it. It will suffice us that such a hadith should awaken us. There's no need to go into technical discussions. ثَلَاثَةٌ لَا يَنْظُرُمُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْهِمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَلَا يُكَلِّمُهُمْ. That's enough for a person to think that maybe on the Day of Judgment, Allah will not look at that individual, will not speak to that individual. وَالرَّسُولُ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ أَفْضَلُ الْقُدْوَةِ لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. والرسول أين كان إزاره؟ Read through the seerah of the Prophet عليه السلام. Where was his izhar? Where was his lower garment? Before we go to technical discussions, whether we live in the Western world, what type of environment, or these ahadith, are they rejected or do they really apply? What's the meaning of ahadith? والرسول عليه السلام كان إزاره فوق الكعبين على أقل أقل شيء. The Prophet عليه السلام, his lower garment is always above his ankles. That was the Prophet عليه السلام. والثالث that we find, والمنفق سلعته بالحلف الكاذب. The person who sells their commodity via swearing by the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and is lying. Wallahi hadha rakhis. Wallahi, this is the best commodity. This is cheap. This is the best thing you can buy. This is the best deal. People involved in business transactions should be wary. بالحلف الكاذب. Person who is taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and lying. Just to encourage a saint, just to encourage a prophet, is under severe warning, under the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, why a person may not accept gifts if it leads to hatred. We find a narration, a man from Banu Fazara. He came to the Prophet with a she camel, and he gives it to him. And the Prophet gave him something back in return. This angered the individual. Ulama of hadith, they mentioned that this person, he expected to give a gift and expected something far better to be given back to him. Person shouldn't give a gift with the intent that I am now gifted something, or something more beyond that should be given to me. Another type of gifting that Muslims should be wary of is a giving of gifts to sway a person's decision, or some form of bribery that we find. A person should be vigilant regarding that. The Quran begins to discuss this element of the giving of gifts to try to maybe possibly sway a decision, or to stop something taking place. وَإِنِّي مُرْسِلَةٌ إِلَيْهِ بِهَدِيَّةٍ فَنَاظِرَةٌ بِمَا يَرْجِعُ الْمُرْسَلُونَ. In the story of Bilqis and Sulaiman alayhi salam, inside Surah An-Naml that we find, the 27th chapter of the Quran, when Bilqis, the queen of Sheba, maybe classified as a modern day, the land of Yemen that we find, she said, I'm going to send bihadiyatin. I'm going to send this gift. Because she was a queen. So she thought that maybe I send these gifts to Sulaiman alayhi salam, to maybe to persuade him, to show him my honor and my glory and my prestige, to sway him away from what he intends to do. Sulaiman alayhi salam, ulama of tariq had mentioned, only two kings ruled over all of this earth. Two amongst the Muslims and two amongst the non-Muslims ruled over most of this earth. Amongst them was Sulaiman wa waliduhu Dawood alayhi salam. Are the two who ruled over near enough all of this earth, ruled it. When Sulaiman alayhi salam returned, this comes back to Sulaiman. فَلَمَّا جَعَ سُلَيْمَانَ قَالَ أَتُمِدُّونَنِي بِمَالٍ فَمَا آتَانِيَ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا مِمَّا آتَاكُمْ بَلْ أَنْتُمْ بِهَدِيَتِكُمْ تَفْرَحُونَ. He said, what is this you're trying to entice me with? Are you trying to give me gifts to sway me away? That I'm going to bring an army that you find that the beginning or the end is going to be me and the beginning is going to be with you. Because you are a people, تَعْبُدُ الشَّمْسِ. You're people who worship the sun. And that we have to come now and we have to dismantle this. We are people of Tawheed. We have to establish Tawheed upon the earth. We're not going to be swayed. Because indeed what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me, far more than what has been given to you. You may rejoice inside the gifts that you may think that have been given to you. But what Allah has bestowed upon me is far more. And the discussion, it continues. Whereby it mentioned that Sulaiman alayhi salam, then he asks, because Sulaiman alayhi salam was given the control, not just of mantiqul tayr, speech of the word of the birds and the animals and control of animals, walakin alimul jinn, was given control of the jinn, was given to Sulaiman alayhi salam. So he asked, who will bring her throne to me? Ulama of seerah, tariqh, they mention about the beauty of the throne of Bilqis. Who will bring her throne? Ifrit said, I'll bring it before you stand up from your place. But one who had been given knowledge of the book more powerful said, I'll give it before you even the blinking of an eye. And just as he closed his eyes, he opened his eyes, there was the throne in front of him. قَالَ هَذَا مِنْ فَضِّ رَبِّي لِيَبْلُوَنِي أَشْكُرُ أَمْ أَكْفُرُ. انظر إلى سليمان عليه السلام. قَالَ هَذَا مِنْ فَضُّ رَبِّي. He doesn't say, I'm powerful, I'm strong, I'm mighty. قَالَ هَذَا مِنْ فَضِّ رَبِّي. This is nothing but the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لِيَبْلُوَنِي أَشْكُرُ أَمْ أَكْفُرُ. That's what all this dunya is. To see whether you're going to be grateful or you're going to be ungrateful. When even Allah bestows blessings upon a person, the blessings have been placed there for a person, for Allah to test that individual. And that's what a person should be wary about, the kinds of people in position and power and authority. That we find the world politics at the moment, it is a well-known science. People in power at the moment, they pay money. They influence campaigns, they influence people. Because money buys votes. Money buys people. Campaign millions, not billions, are spent to sway people towards decisions. And that's why even, don't be saddened. Don't be taken by even the Muslim world. There are people who will be swayed. And we shouldn't mention this, but sometimes a person used to mention, hatta ba'd al-ulama. Ulama will be swayed by certain gifts, certain prestige, certain honor, certain dignity, to sway them away. Hada talbis iblis. This is a deception of the devil as well. But hunak ba'd al-ulama. There's some ulama that you find that their virtue, their rank is well known. Hunak kana alim. There's a scholar well known, passed away from 10 years ago. Had the virtue of meeting this individual. That when he met one of the rulers, they came to his house. His mud house, came to his smaller house. And they tried to offer him, what can we do for you? Is there something that we can do for you? Something we can build for you? Something we can encourage you with? He said, no, I'm fine. I'm building my house in a certain precinct, in a certain area. So his students who were there, sitting there, thought that, what is the house that you are building? Then when the rulers, they walked out of the sheikh's house, they said, this is a real scholar. Even they admitted it was not swayed. He's not swayed. He said, if you want to build something, build a hostel for the students. Build a masjid. Build something to benefit the awam, the people. Don't worry about me. They even acknowledge that this is an individual, the meaning of a real scholar, who's not swayed by anything. Then the tulab, they ask him, that, what is it? That where are you building your house? This village, this area, this precinct that you're building, it is a maqbara. It's a grave. Where is the house you're building? I'm building my house in Jannah. So a person that was swayed, وَعَلَى رَيْتِ شَخْصِيًا حَتَّى بَعْدْ مَا يَأْخُذُ الطَّعَامِ. Some ulama, when they're writing references or speak about an individual, people present gifts to them, try to speak them in good words. They reject it. Reject their food, reject their words, reject everything. Why? Because لِأَنَّهُ الْبَشَرِ. Person could be swayed. وَالْقَاضِ لَا يَحْكُمْ فِي حَالَةِ الْغَضَبِ. A judge doesn't judge in a state of anger, needs to step down. This is how accurate Islam is. That a person feels any preference towards another individual, a personality, or whatever it may be, a decision. Person needs to retract themselves because they're going to make the wrong decision. And that, in conclusion, that we find the best gift that we can give to people after the material gifts that we can give, as I mentioned, towards one family members, one wife, one children, their loved ones. These are all a person should do. Should be a norm inside their life. The gifting of Islam to the people around us. The gifting of the Quran. The gifting of the Sunnah. It's a prime opportunity. This is a gift that we should be sharing celebrating inside our society. Alhamdulillah, الَّذِي هَدَانَ لِهَذَا وَمَا كُنَّا لِنَهْتَدِيَ لَوْلَا أَنْ هَدَانَ اللَّهِ. Praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, guide us to Al-Islam. This is what we should be sharing inside our community. Giving the gift of the Quran. How many of us go out of our way? But most of us are stuck in the daily rat race of the world around us. They don't speak about religion, don't speak about death, don't speak about the hereafter. Even amongst Muslims as well, don't speak about al-maut. Don't speak about death, don't take away the good life that I'm enjoying. And likewise, we find that many of our shabab, day in and day out, what is taking place? Trivial affairs. It leads to what? The taking of another person's life. A person should try to reconcile. A person shouldn't try to inflame. Many of the things that disputes are taking place, many of our shabab is taking place recently. What do we find? Taking of peasant, innocent people's life. Even non-Muslims that we find, the rate of the amount of stabbings and killings that are taking place. And look at the reaction of people. How the jahiliya? This is ignorance. This is pre-Islamic practices. That even amongst Muslims, that this is our friend, our Qawdi, our loved one, this is our area, this is our community. How the kulluhu jahiliya? All of this is jahiliya. Hatta fi ba'd al-Muslimin, in the disguise of Islam. There's Muslim brothers who fought with other Muslims. You know for what purpose? Because they don't agree upon the ba'd al-Masail al-Fiqhiyya. They don't agree upon certain Islamic ritual practices. And they fight with one another. Ayy Islam hada? What Islam is this? What practice of Islam is this? This is nothing but talbis of Iblis. To create such a hatred amongst Muslims that they smack another Muslim, they hit another Muslim, they harm another Muslim. Imam Shafi, لما يكان يجادل الناس, he would debate with people. Used to enter to debate, thinking that possibly the person I'm debating is better than me. It has the right answer. They never used to enter to debates to despise people, look down upon people, to make a critique of people, to make people feel lonely, to go and harm people. And this build-up of Ramadan that we find. What happens amongst our Muslims? We don't seem to learn the lessons. Ramadan after Ramadan. Would it be ma'asi, disobedience, that we prepare ourselves for in the month of Ramadan, and inside the month of Ramadan, outside the month of Ramadan? Or are arguing amongst ourselves? Or whether the Imam should read 8 or 20 raka'at of Taraweeh? We spend all of our efforts on this and shunning one another. These are scholarly debates that have existed akthar min alf sana, more than 1,000 years. So a person should find serenity, peace. Within where a person finds comfort inside that, التقرب إلى السنة يصلي هنا. What is close to the sunnah, go and pray. They don't try to create upheaval inside society. And likewise amongst Muslims, where there's issues amongst Muslims, try to reconcile amongst them. Don't inflame things. Don't lead to another person's life being taken or harm or bloodshed being taking place. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take away the rancor, the ill feelings inside our heart. Take it away from our hearts, snatch it away from our hearts, purify our hearts. Make us to be qunu ibadallahi ikhwana. To be brothers towards one another, to be concerned about one another. That we all begin to love one another. To have iman towards one another. And we all enter into Jannah together as one group of individuals. That is the ultimate success for the believing individuals.